Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone you gather. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Say something, Mother. Come here, Mother. We're live on Sister to Sister. Say hi to everyone. Mother Carol is standing right beside me. No, she is not my guest speaker tonight, but she is beside my microphone. Say hi.
Shalom, daughters of Zion. I hope everyone is staying warm. And I know that most of you are very appreciative of being wise and listening to the mandates from the men of Yah, and that you are warm and taken care of and have plenty of food. I love you all dearly. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother. Bless you tonight. You're listening to Live Sister to Sister. It comes on every Thursday. I am Sister Ashley. I'm here in Tennessee. And my partner, comrade, companion, mother, sister, and friend, Mother Jennifer, is in Georgia. Mother Jennifer, bless you. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom, Sister Ashley, and bless you. I got really excited when you said Mother Carol is by my side. excellent. It was really good to hear Mother Carol's voice, and it's good to hear your voice as well. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad to know that you are all safe and warm, and we are doing very well here, staying warm and staying safe as well. So I pray everyone can hear me. I hear you perfectly, and I think we can move on.
Hallelujah. I need to click on my chat and even pull it up. Mother Carol was only dropping off the Be a Blessing list for us, so I'll read it. It's shorter than ever, so it'll be quick for me to read. And I believe she may be sending you a copy, so you can please post it on Facebook or any other avenue that we usually post it to. Greetings to everyone who is new to the channel, new to listening, new to pastor, new to the faith, new to the way, or greetings to everyone who is strapped up, girded their loins, and been running with the Father in this race for any length of time. Bless you to the faithful, to the women who submit and surrender themselves to their husband as they do Yeshua. Bless you to everyone who is obedient in heart and in spirit. I want to honor you. Hallelujah. And I have a choice, just like you do, to pick and choose what I want to listen to. And you so happen to pick and choose tonight that you would love to listen to us. And it's an honor. Thank you so much. I also choose everything within the ministry to listen to. I hope that you're listening to The Lion's Den, Teacher Eric Robinson, Straightway Kansas City, and chiefly Pastor Down Straightway Live. He did a wonderful video today. Pray that you're following all his avenues, new on Rumble, but aged on Patreon. And I pray that you're continuing to find his voice and following it so you don't lose it when we take shifts, such as what the weather may do, what a virus may do, or just what YouTube may do, as they are constantly seeking to silence the truth. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, please give your acknowledgments.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, first and foremost, I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for always keeping me in his mercy, allowing me to see his mercies every single morning that are brand new. I'm so excited and elated to just be alive right now, to belong to him. I know we're all being tested as his daughters of Zion, but it really is just proof that he truly loves us and he desires us to be fit for him, not for ourselves, but for him. I'm so happy for his leading and his guiding through his spirit. And I just want everybody to just really remain encouraged and really remain in the love of Yah. I know it sounds like a light thing, but it's really not when you're truly walking this thing out in love. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his sound, stable presence, not only in my life, but the life of his entire family, the life of everyone that is here in Georgia, everyone that he communicates with in the ministry. You know, he carries such a large, large burden for the people, and his love for the people is unlike any love that you will really ever see, beside the love that you see from the man of Yah, Pastor Dow. You know, we have leaders here in the ministry who has an enormous burden for the people. And everything that Elder Rufus does is motivated by that love. And I'm so honored to be his wife, to be his Ashaya, to belong to him, to learn from him. And I just want to continue staying in that same vein of learning his relationship with the Most High so that my relationship can mirror the same thing. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for continually feeding his people, for feeding Yah's people, for taking the time out of his day. I know he's a very busy man, but taking the time out of his day to really give us the wisdom that we need, the live feeds that we're given, you know, on a weekly basis now is so exciting, keeping us up to date on everything. It's an honor to have a man of Yah who leads by his lifestyle, you know, to really have a shepherd who teaches us women the ins and outs of, you know, the wickedness that's actually in our own hearts. And it takes a lot of love to really teach those who don't understand themselves. So bless you, Pastor Dow, and blessings to your entire household. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. You know, I have no stress at all whatsoever in my life. And that is largely in part because of Pastor's commitment and his family's commitment and the vision that they had early on years ago. And even in the midst of COVID-19 or in the midst of this storm, winter weather, the snow, and we have quite a bit of snow here, which is an incredible amount for this area, inconsistent weather in Lafayette, Tennessee, always has been. And so we're pretty much locked in willingly, you know, locked in willingly. And we are sledding, me and my children, my husband Steve, we sled every day. And we're taking pictures, we're drinking hot chocolate, we're, you know, rehearsing the commandments, doing fun things, just stress-free. And that is my acknowledgement to the Father, honestly, that I could have been somewhere with much more stress, losing my mind, unprepared. Without a guide, without a shepherd in my life, and even down to the small things of just enjoying every moment, even in a storm, I'm very, very grateful for. Hallelujah. My husband, I always want to greet him. He's not always able to listen. He is playing with his three boys and having great nights on fifth day, on Thursday nights. That is there. That's the moment. You know, the boys can't wait until I go to the show. And my husband is sold out and completely surrendered to the Most High. He's dead to the flesh. He really is motivated by the Spirit. He's burdened for Israel, just like you said, you know, Elder Rufus is as well. But he's largely in part motivated by his desire to support the leaders. He's never envied. He's never been guilty of envy as long as I've known him. He's just pure, 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 and he is my strength. I do want to send a special shout out to our shepherd, who is the most misunderstood man with breath in his body, truly given a strength from on high and a humility and a meekness from on high, even a humor from on high. The man is just wonderful to watch, from every bit of growth he's had to the family that he has to the son he has. Shout out to little Hezekiah and his beautiful mother. We got a great thing going on. Really, really love being a part of this family here. And even in our acknowledgments, my sisters, to those of you who listen to us, and to those of you who may even skip the first few minutes of the show every week because it's not meaty and it's just us talking about our men, our leaders, or our Yah. In our acknowledgments, we're not meaning for them to ever be vain and repetition. They really are sincerely from our heart, and we couldn't be before you week after week without these acknowledgments, without these men and these great people that have guided us. Hallelujah. Because of Yah, we live, move, and have our being, and guess what? It's 5.5 weeks away from Passover. We're approaching the end of February, and Passover's next month, so I gotta be a blessing list. I'm going to read it off, Mother Jennifer, that's okay?
Absolutely, Sister Ashley.
All right, we're going with Hefty Supreme Plates, Hefty Supreme Bowls, 12-ounce foam cups. So I'm going to read it kind of quickly. It's a short list, and usually Sister Ashley Miles will post it. We've been wanting to get a video to you, hindrance after hindrance, no excuses, of course. We will get a video to you. So I didn't want to hold off anymore with 5.5 weeks left. Some of you order and send these items in, and we're ready to receive. So we'll give mailing information in time and days coming up. Yes, we'll take forks and spoons. We'll take cutlery sets, rice, jasmine or basmati preferably, Ziploc bags, gallon only, Ziploc bags, gallon only. Any size honey, please. We have 5 more items. Sunflower oil, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizers, the larger the better. The small ones just don't do an efficient job for such a large crowd. But anything you can get, thank you very much. And napkins and Viva paper towels. Viva paper towels and napkins, all right? So plates, bowls, cups, forks, spoons, rice, Ziploc bags, honey, sunflower oil, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizers, napkins, and Vivas. Hallelujah. Brother Jennifer, any acknowledgments?
I want to announce, Sister Ashley, that the DMV meeting that was scheduled for this weekend has been canceled, and the potential date that's given for it to be postponed is March 6th, but it's not, that's not an official date. It's a potential date, so possibly March 6th, which is in 2 weeks. But again, that has not been officially announced, so stay tuned for more information on that meeting. Again, the DMV meeting, the DC, Maryland, Virginia meeting scheduled for this week has been canceled. Sister Ashley?
Not so long ago, within the year, Pastor has said it's going to be one heck of a year for us in 2020 and even more so 2021 coming up. He was right. It has been a year of shaking, both naturally and spiritually, for a lot of individuals. I pray that each of you are able to keep your head above water, that you're able to keep your knees on the ground for your Father. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there, but please, please endure to the end. All right, so DMV meeting has been postponed. Hallelujah. The safety of the saints is number one priority. And then, of course, as I said, 5.5 weeks to Passover. I can't really think of anything else that we would need to address or announce at this time. Special love yous and blessings to all those who are carrying children or, hallelujah, yes, yes, thank you. Those who have wombs that are blessed with a small seed or two inside of you, bless your husband's house, bless his increase. There'll be no Sabbath service tomorrow. Sabbath will not be in the assembly. Pastor should be at his desk behind his screen, all right? So we, even the bells, will be right here on this land and doing it from even our own home. So each of you, please stay where you're at and be safe. We won't be meeting in the tabernacle at all. What about you in Georgia, Mother? How's your, you got snow on the ground? What's your weather like?
Sister Ashley, we have no snow at all. It's very cold, but we have no snow. And it's interesting to, you know, have people sending me pictures of their snow and what it looks like there. But we have absolutely none. The temperatures have dropped, you know, below freezing this week, several nights in a row. But other than that, we're good. We're good.
Hallelujah. I gotta be funny. All right, saints, you heard the invite. You can all go to Georgia for the weekend. Wait till the snow melts in your area. Give them a heads up if you're coming to eat. Just playing. Hallelujah. Just playing. Hey, Mother Jennifer, I get asked a question pretty often, and I'm going to ask it to you. See what your first thought is, and let's open up our conversation. Are you ready? Anything else that you need to address first?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
You know what? Let's pause for a minute. This hit me. Like, I'm not sure if anyone quite understands the burden that a mother of Israel has on her. It's definitely not something that you place upon yourself as an individual. It's something that comes with the package. And when you were selected to be, and I can even say just appointed, if I can say that, because it comes with, you know, it comes with a character, it comes with integrity, it comes with a sound man that you follow. There's a big weight and a burden that you bear, though you cast it all to the Father. Can you speak to us about that burden you bear? Can you, I know we can't feel it like you feel it, you're a mother, but what's it like being a mother?
Oh, Sister Ashley, I can say this, that, you know, it's a wonderful thing being a mother. The burden that comes with it, you know, it's like the Father places a burden on your heart for the women. And it's unlike anything that I've ever experienced before on this level. You know, a lot of times I have conversations with women, and in that conversation, you're really just trying to ask the Father that their eyes be opened, you know, that they would really hear, that things would really be revealed in their hearts. And you're literally begging and pleading and asking the Father to reveal these things. And sometimes as you're having these conversations or you're talking, you just realize that sometimes women won't go past their own will. They refuse to lay down their own will so that they can really learn what they need to learn. And a lot of times when, you know, when you communicate with women, and that's how I know, when Pastor Dow says, you know, about women, I just don't see how y'all gonna make it. And I understand what he means by that, because as women, women just want to belong to themselves. There are a lot of women who just don't have that realization yet that they are not their own, that they actually belong to Yah. Women are really good at deceiving themselves. Women are very good at deceiving others. And I think that is that's the thing that concerns me the most, Sister Ashley.
Bless you. Bless you for the weight that you bear. I don't expect the Daughters of Zion to understand it, but they should definitely have compassion and mercy in their hearts for what you bear and for what Mother Carol bears, what our pastor bears, our elders bear. It's not the same when you are who you are and you see how you see. It's just not the same when you have this life and this lot placed before you. Your care is half the reason why you even got that selection upon your life, Mother Jennifer, your upright heart. And I thank the Father for his favor on you, and I ask him to bless those who honor your house, your husband's house, honor you and the position that you're in, and may they forever be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing your heart, being vulnerable, and even sharing your tears, Mother Jennifer. And you said the word will, W-I-L-L, will, and you didn't know that that's really what I was going to ask right off the jump tonight. I get asked a common question by sisters, and they'll say, Sister Ashley, how did you break your will? How did you break your will? And I think every time I probably answer it differently to each sister who asks it, and I answer it according to maybe what they need to hear for that moment. And then on a broad scale, when you talk about it on the show, you have to reach a lot of minds, you know, a lot of levels. And so that's what the hope is tonight to do, because there is the Father's will for you, and then there's the will of man. And I think, Mother Jennifer, I'll start just this introduction tonight of from a marriage standpoint. You know, there's a lot of, you know, marriage is one of the chief discussions of this ministry, because it is such a pivotal reflecting point for us to understand and grasp with our relationship to the Father and our relationship to our husband. That is so pivotal in our understanding. And so I hope that none of you battle or fight against that topic. You know, that topic is going to be discussed from this point on, even the more so, even stronger, just to try to get into our conscious the Father's love for his people and the family, the ordained family structure. But I think I'll start with how man was not created for woman, but the woman was created for man. And even if you're young or you're what the world would call a teenager, not married, never been married, maybe widow or even divorced, you can, you know, put Yah or God, Elohim, into that blank. The woman was created for God. But we say for man, so that you would know the order. Okay, so tonight, if you have no man in front of you, you will know how to still hear. That means that we must deny that man was made for us. Man was not made for woman. And not once does the Bible refer to God as a she or a her. And so when you hear that, you know, God was genderless, he was not a he or she, or a, right, it's garbage. He first had the opportunity to create by creating Adam. And then when he had an opportunity to create, he chose a man named Jesus, not a woman, right? So he kept that structure. But a marriage was intended initially. Let's go back to marriage for a moment. Marriage was intended to be a permanent covenant relationship between a man who is to protect and provide for his wife and a woman who was to remain monogamous or faithful to her husband. The law, our law, actually called for the execution of a woman who broke her marriage vows or was treacherous or adulterous. And when the practice of punishment was, either you want to say discontinued or it did not occur, as time progressed forward, divorce became an accepted substitute as an act of discipline. And you're going to hear the word divorce in my introduction a little bit, because I'm trying to show you, I'm still always going to reflect on your will versus the Father's will, and we use that word divorce a little bit, because divorce was an act of discipline, right? It was the ending of a marriage. It was a husband's right. And whoever divorced his wife, he was to give her a certificate of divorce. And when you consider that gap between I'm now going to put you away, or I shouldn't use that interchangeable, I'm going to give you this bill of divorcement, I'm going to cut myself and sever myself from you, it's supposed to be very painful. For the married woman is bound to her husband while he is living. That's also the word, right? So divorce was an act of discipline or treachery. And at this cultural standpoint, Mother Jennifer, in 2021, every human has been treacherous to a mighty Elohim, right? So you have man to Yah, he's been treacherous. Man to woman, he's been treacherous. Woman to Yah, she's been treacherous. Woman to man, she's been treacherous. Man to man, he's been treacherous. Woman to woman, she's been treacherous. And it's really scary, our behavior that persists. And most, in most marriage issues, you come across one thinking, or maybe even both thinking, you're innocent, but you are guilty. So you can kind of fill in the blank. I am innocent of blank. But then judgment says, no, you are guilty of blank, right? So when we accept responsibility for who we are as a woman, and we really sit back and say, I'm sorry, and I'm going to change, and I repent, and forgive me, there's a lot on the line. There's a lot required out of us. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about, understanding that you're guilty. And a lot of times the focus can be on the innocent. You know, well, I haven't done this. I haven't done that. You know, maybe peering into somebody else's life. And because you haven't been through or you haven't done the things that they have done, then you think that you're innocent through your own eyes. And, you know, your righteousness is like a disgusting, filthy rag, and that is what the Father sees. So when you stop focusing on your own righteousness, your own innocence, then that's when the Father can really break through and get you to the point of where you need to be. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So the majority of us live in a very selfish bubble, and you have your circumstances and what you're dealing with and what's been done to you, and, you know, whether it's been horrible acts of injustice or just as some say fate, you know, you can just see with the lenses that you have on. The pastor teaches to take those lenses off, switch them with another pair, see through another glass, And let's see how the Father sees it. Let's think about his will and his purpose and his intention from the beginning, because he says, I saw that for all the causes, all the things that you have done, backsliding Israel has committed adultery, and I put her away and I gave her a certificate of divorce. And even Judah, her treacherous sister, didn't fear. She went a whoring too. And you were sold for your crookedness, and your mother was put away for her transgressions. So it was never something that the Father did to us. If I could say the man, you know, it was never something he did. Hosea said, you're not my people. I'm not for you. And that's painful. That's really painful. But what's proof of our transgressions that we are to fault? And I'm going to use a word, Mother Jennifer, you say often, and I want you to talk next, and that word is obstinate. Obstinate. So talk to me about that word.
You know, Sister Ashley, when I looked up the word obstinate, and the meaning, the definition, if you just look in the dictionary, is, you know, refusing to change your opinion or a chosen course of action despite the attempts to persuade one to do so. I'm gonna read it again. Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to persuade one to do so. And then I also looked at some words that lined up with the word obstinate. Excuse me. And I'm going to go down and read those. It's one word is stubborn, headstrong, willful, unyielding, contrary, perverse, stiff, strong-willed, unrelenting, single-minded, and stiff-necked. And when I think about the word obstinate, and when I read, you know, all of these synonyms that match up to the word obstinate, when I read the definition of the word obstinate, and then when you think about the Father's will for your life, and if you're walking around in obstinance, if you're walking around with an obstinate heart, that means that you are stubbornly refusing to change your own opinion or your own chosen course of action despite the Father's attempts to persuade you to do so. So it is a willful mindset. It is a willful course of action despite the word coming forward, despite the sacrifice that's been made, the blood of Jesus, despite that. It's a willful, strong, stubborn refusing to change your mind, your opinion, and your course of action. Sister Ashley?
I've talked to women before that actually acknowledge the Father's attempts to break them and change them, and they just feel obstinate. They feel hardness. They feel hurt and rejection that keeps them from bowing their knee. And though the Father said, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yah. What is going to break you? It's not my responsibility. It's not the show's responsibility. And actually, it's not even Pastor Dow's responsibility or any other leader, though we are, as Mother Jennifer even confesses to you in tears, we're pleading that you would get this like we got it. There's no way I could teach you my heart. I mean, y'all hear me week after week, but to really feel how I feel, love like I love, be who I am on the inside, my dedication behind the scenes, you don't know me like that, you know? And so as we, if I could say, plead with you to bend your will, we also know that it's not our responsibility because you didn't bend mine. You didn't bend Mother Jennifer's. We allowed the Father to change us because he's worthy. And one of my favorite words. It's a single word in the whole entire front to back of the Bible is the word let. L-E-T, let. Let is the yielding of yourself. And that's what you're missing when you can claim that, you know, he's trying to break my will and I feel him and I'm being tested and this hardship and this destruction and this earthly circumstance and, you know, all these things are occurring at one time. It's a press, it's a push, and I'm still not bowing. Wow. So he says, let this mind be in you. You know, focus on let for a moment. Because all these lets come to my mind. This is one of my favorite words, let. The Messiah says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. It's whatever you say, Father. And as a wife, it is whatever you say to your husband. It really is. You have to show that complete honor and surrender to your husband in order to prove your love to the Messiah. So Jesus said you must also pick up your cross. No, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. That's what we must do. You deny yourself. You know, what you feel and what you think and what matters and what you may need. You know, all those things, if you're not willing to deny them for yourself, then you have too much control over his will for you. So let Yah arise. Let his enemies be scattered. There's a ton of lets from our King David where he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. I'm keying in on the word let because it's something that you allow inside of you. You allow the Father to communicate, to deal with you, you know, to really reach you. And you don't kick and you don't buck and you don't resist. You just let him. And David said, let the king hear us when we call. Let me not be ashamed. Let lying lips be put to silence. Let his mercy be on us. Let all of the earth fear Yahweh. You know, let the daughter of Judah be glad. Let it. It's a good prayer. Let me be pleasing to you, Father. You know, let my will be your will. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There's a ton of them. Let. Let him heal you. And we run so quick to the arm of man. And we run so quick to the medicine cabinet. Let him heal you. Let him be your Yah. Get out of the way. Let us search and try our ways, Lamentations 3, and turn again unto Yahweh. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto Yah in the heavens, and let us put away our whoredoms, Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I remember years ago when we had Pastor Dow on the broadcast with us as a guest, and I remember asking a question, you know, about when women first come into the faith. I said, you know, it seems that there's a lot to change. There's a lot to let go because the world is so contrary to the faith. You know, the world is so contrary. And what advice, this was my question to Pastor. I said, what advice do you have for women who are just now coming into this, you know, as far as really living a holy lifestyle? And the answer that Pastor gave, and I'll never forget this, he said, forget everything about the old woman. You forget everything that she represented. You forget everything that she stood for. You forget every thought that she had. You forget every action that she committed. You forget everything about her. And then you start to learn the new woman. You start to learn your culture and your heritage as a Hebrew woman. And that is the woman that you feed while you're fighting against the old woman. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Hallelujah. I think we've even said enough to end the show just to get wheels turning, you know, food for thought. But, hey, we all are very guilty and we owe a debt we can't pay. That's one of the themes that I live by. I owe a debt I can't pay. And I sincerely, every day, I'm trying to find who I can serve that the Father loves, that I can pay that debt. Though, yes, the blood of Jesus has paid it all. But let's not get caught up in Christianity. to become completely free of our Yah, when he put that certificate of divorce in our hands, if I can say that, it is amazing and very clever that we would once again be joined to, can I say, our other husband, which is Christ, which is the same law. A very clever plan that he would transition us from that bill of divorcement to the blood of the Lamb. There's a lot of thinking that he did, a lot of sacrifice. And Paul says, you know, he freed us from the law of sin and death, and he laid the guilt on Jesus. So he made a new covenant with us, and it's in our heart, but you don't see replications of that covenant like we should, you know. We're not short on hypocrisy, and we're not short on lying and manipulation. We're not short on sinning or iniquitous behavior, you know, quarreling, fighting. We're not short on any of those things, but we're very short of holiness. That's not because of our Yah. He's not to blame. He's not to fault. Our husband has not sinned against us. What manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of Yah. So we establish the introduction of tonight's topic, the pure intentions of our Yah, his patriarchal order, and his will versus our will. That's really the reflection, because his will for us is not to be anything but free, really. And I marvel that there's, guess what, there's no bitterness in him, Mother Jennifer, even after what all we've done. That's amazing, huh? There's no bitterness, resentfulness, retaliation, hatred, spite. Matter of fact, he says, I will bless you and I will multiply you. I'll be your God. I'll establish my covenant with you. I'm going to put a division between you and that people. I'll cause it to rain if it needs to rain. I'll pass over you. Just as he said, I'll harden the hearts of the Egyptians. He would also put no disease on us. If we just humble ourselves, I will hear you. I will not justify the wicked. I will be an enemy to your enemy. I'll take sickness away. I mean, it's promise after promise after promise. And you know what we get caught up on, Mother Jennifer? Zephaniah 3:17 says that the Most High is silent in his love. All right, I'm going to say it again, my sisters. He is silent in his love. And a woman who is not silent by nature, by spirit, got a lot of things going on in her mind. We're going to bring up deliverance tonight. I brought a book called Pigs in the Parlor. You got a lot going on. You don't quite understand the covenant. You don't quite understand your role, or you can't just understand how to, you know, rest in him. He's silent in his love, and we're expecting so much more out of him, and he's just not that way. He's a silent, yeah. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, you talked about the love of the Father, the love of Yah, and we partake in such great benevolence from him, so much love, and every single day we experience his love, we experience his benevolence. But, you know, why is it so difficult for us to return that? You know, we know what it is, we know what it feels like, we experience it every day. But when it comes time to actually give it out to another sister, to be loving to another sister, we refuse. You know, we close up our hearts to another sister. And like you said, Sister Ashley, he is silent in his love, and so many women don't understand that silence is love. You know, we've been raised to think that women should always have something going on in their minds, that, you know, if your mind is clear and your mind is at peace, then something's wrong. And so many women have been raised in families where there's always some type of drama going on. There's always some type of, you know, chaos. And some women are taught that without chaos, then there's something wrong. And so they go to create this chaos. They go to look for it. But the focus is that Yah is silent in his love. So we need to learn how to be silent in our hearts and in our mind, and to really receive his love. Sister Ashley?
hallelujah, you know, silence is breeding grounds for accusations, you know. If your husband's silent, why aren't you talking? What are you thinking? What you been doing, you know? If y'all's not saying anything to you, then he don't love me and da-da-da-da and all this, right? All these accusations because of silence. And our Yah is silent. He's trying to bring you to silence. He's trying to bring you to silence, you know. We're put away for our treacherousness, and we've been adopted, if I can say that, or even brought back in, but we've been adopted. And remember, the result of a divorcement was discipline, you know, discipline for our treacherousness, for breaking his law, you know. And we're the ones that deal with the spirits of rejection and the rebellion and the control and the resentment and retaliation. You, woman, you know, us as the bride, the women. And we're the ones that are guilty of the adultery and the lawlessness. And there's freedom in accepting that. So there's written proof throughout the word of this spiritual law that says, hey, you don't believe divorce is a discipline? I'm going to turn you over. Right, I'm going to turn you over to all these things. I'm going to read, Mother Jennifer, from Pigs in the Parlor. It says it's a practical guide to deliverance. It's from Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. I learned about this book through this ministry, and I would say that we've far surpassed their understanding, but it was a very, very great place to start. For some of you, why deliverance has to be brought up is because you can't quite understand how to yield or let the Father break your will if you have not yet gotten freedom from demonic entities that are proof of your treachery, right? Proof of the way that you have gone in that is not his way. And so that deliverance is very pivotal for you to be able to sort through what these demons are saying to you to even hear is miraculous. And it says the process of expelling demons is called deliverance. Deliverance is not a panacea or a cure-all, yet it is an important part of what God is doing in relationship to the current church. Now, some expect too much from deliverance, others expect too little, and we honestly need to find what part deliverance can play in each of our own lives and receive whatever benefit that it offers. We're not a ministry that teaches someone to do deliverance outside of this ministry. That's definitely not what this show would promote. So at these moments, we're talking to those who are really desiring to be free and get full confession of your behavior. There's a lot of steps that you can do. You're going to put on the whole armor of Yah. You're going to crucify your flesh. You're going to develop a life of praise and prayer. You're going to maintain fellowship with one of our assemblies. You're going to commit yourself totally and wholeheartedly to Christ, and you're going to submit and surrender yourself to the body, whoever that may be, whether it's the head of your assembly, a leader, or even just a sister, a friend that's coaching you along. So I'm going to go to, let's see, I think it's page 43 I wrote down. Any thoughts, Mother Jennifer, while I flip around? Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I know we talk about this a lot, about when Straightway first discovered deliverance, or, you know, the Father showed deliverance to Straightway, and, you know, you all were getting deliverance every single day. Every single day. And even when we came into the faith, you know, there was somebody who lived in the house with us, because we've lived communally from day one when we first came into the faith, but somebody was always getting deliverance every single day. And, you know, even pastor says that now you don't see the same amount of deliverance being done when people first come in. You just don't see it. And it's like people don't really have a grasp, you know, that there are demons that live inside of each and every one of us. And we're so focused on everybody else's demons that we forget that we have to work on ourselves and get these demons expelled, get the deliverance that we need so that we can look at each other with the proper, correct discernment, instead of looking at each other and seeing wickedness or seeing evil, that we can actually see, you know, the goodness in others as well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So this is a book that was written in 1973. Mother Jennifer, your words are well said. And from 1973, Straightway had nothing to do with the publication of this book, nor the stories in the book, and that's important, pivotal thing to say. Why? Because if you don't believe Straightway, then maybe you'll believe a 1973 author who was also a deliverance minister. I'm going to read out a few things I have highlighted, and a lot of them are just, hey, it's going to answer you when you got your piece of paper in front of you and you say, what demons do I have? What issues do I got? What characters are not me? You know, what do I need to free myself from? Because I have become oppressive to others around me. And so maybe you're thinking too much into it. I don't know if this, I don't know if it's that. I don't know if this, I don't know if it's that. It could be, but it could be, you know. And spirits love that because nothing's coming out. They don't got to go nowhere. There's no resistance in that at all, right? It's desperation that brings deliverance. That's Coach and Shepherd has always said, the desperate get delivered. The desperate get free. That's all it takes. Yeah, I don't got to have all the answers. I don't got to, hey, I've been sitting in this assembly a year, 2 years, 6 months, 2 months, whatever, two Sabbaths, and I'm afraid to get deliverance. I'm afraid because they'll see me. I'm afraid of how it'll sound. Are you kidding me? What shame you bring, right? When it is the Father's mercy that would free you, why wouldn't you partake of it? Here's one it says. This is actually a man named Mr. A, so he has these abbreviations for these men, not using their real names. This man had particularly suffered from a nervous breakdown. He was handicapped. Some psychiatric issues had happened, but here was his main issue. He found himself filled with great bitterness and hatred. He began to entertain thoughts of trying to find the man that he hated after all these years. Now, at this point, Mr. A came to me for deliverance. It was explained that he must repent of his hatred and forgive that person by the act of his will. He could not be delivered from the tormentors until he had willed to forgive that man. He would not answer my appeal. So for at least 5 minutes, he sat there in total silence, trying to decide whether to keep his hatred or meet God's requirement for deliverance. It took all the strength he could muster up, but finally he said, with the help of Jesus, I forgive that man. And by this act of his will, he paved the way for deliverance. Mother Jennifer, an act of will and even a confession that says, with the help of Jesus, I forgave that man. Talk to me about how these sisters, women, all of us need to have the will to forgive any man.
Absolutely. Sister Ashley, you know, you talked about the requirement, and we've talked about this before in the broadcast, that there are requirements that have to be met. When you're seeking healing, when you're seeking deliverance, there's no way that you are going to approach the throne of Yah and ask for, you know, to be delivered or ask for anything if you have anything in your heart against anybody else, if you have any bitterness, if you refuse to forgive, you're pretty much asking the Father to do something for you, and you refuse to meet his requirement. So it's very important, like you said, it's an act of your will. So it's an act of really laying down your will and trusting that the Father's will is what is needed for you. The Father's will is what is best for you. You know, if we would just stop and think about our own will, you know, think about your own will, and where you are right now in your life is a result of, you know, the areas where you've turned your own will over to the Father and you have completely submitted yourself to him, or you've been in rebellion and you've been operating in your own will. But wherever you are right now in your life, the areas that you're not happy about, the areas that you're not free in, that is because you have been acting in your own will. The areas where you're bound is because of your own will. But the areas that you're free, you've submitted yourself to the Most High Yah, and that is why you can be free. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We have not been completely faithful to our Yah. We've broken vows to him. We've transgressed his law.
were all worthy of the death penalty, you know, prior even to the faith. And then you come into the faith, and then there's this fabricated fantasy that says, why is this happening, and why this, and why this, and no one's going, man, I'm worthy of this, like, sincerely. Like, I would rather these things come upon me now, here and now, that I deal with it, deal with myself. The things that I've done, said, acted out on, right, what I'm guilty of, oh, man, it pales in comparison, right? So you wanna let me go to this one, too. This says, he's a five-year-old. JP had many problems for a five-year-old. His parents had come to the point of divorce. There had been much tension and turmoil in his home from the time of birth. His mother related to us that JP had many fears and constantly clung to her for security. It was obvious that he was very nervous and restless. All in all, he was a rather unhappy child. Now, I'll pause because majority of children, all children, should cling to the mother and father for security in their youth. But anything overboard, right, I got to bring that balance because there can be demons just like JP had. So don't be so quick to, you know, check all this off as yourself. Really allow the Father to deal with you right where you're at, okay? So here goes. When the first demons were addressed in JP, the evil spirits pressed his lips together in defiance, a gesture that unmistakably meant, we don't intend to come out. All right, but in the name of Jesus, they were forced to yield because they came up with much foaming from the mouth and spitting. Now, a lot of you may have not even seen deliverance before. Some of the spirits that are living inside your body might be on edge at even hearing this, but it's real. It is what it is. The battle was not a difficult one, it says. It lasted about 30 minutes. And then when it was over, JP came through. He was grinning, and he was like, I've got to find a mirror. I feel so good. I must look different. And he did. It says his face was radiant. With the demons gone, the joy can now come forth, and that is 100% of cases. The joy comes forth, and the countenance does shine. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, it's interesting, you know, talking about deliverance with children, because a lot of times you know, there are a lot of parents that say, you know, how do you do deliverance on children? Can you walk us through it? And I think it's really important to understand that, you know, as a parent, you have to make sure first that you are free in these areas and that you are properly instructing your child how to walk this thing out. You know, if they're struggling with things, you have to, you know, say fear. They're struggling with fear. You have to give them the proper steps on how to battle the spirit of fear, how to really prepare their mind to battle against the spirit of fear, how to repent for, you know, giving fear a way into their heart and into their mind, how to trust Yah, how to really have faith in Yah, how to really believe Yah, how to understand what the word says about fear. You know, those are things that sometimes we just miss. You know, we see our children struggling and we just want to go ahead and just give deliverance and, you know, say, come out in the name of Jesus. Well, there's requirements. There's things that have to be done. And as a parent, you have to make sure that you are free and that you're not binding your children in certain areas. Sister Ashley.
Very good. Next one, Miss B. Miss B was delivered of a tormenting spirit. She had been opened up to it by a great fear. All right, the word says fear has torment. She described how at certain times a frenzied agitation would come over her and completely overpower her. All right, some of y'all can relate to this. She could not act or think in her usual sober and stable way. When in one of these agitated states, she would often say, why am I acting like this? This isn't like me. All right, so if that's your constant meditation or reflection, why am I doing this? Why am I acting like this? This is not me. Then you know. You're dealing with demonic oppression. And so she began to see that a spirit was creating crisis in her mind, which did not exist in reality. Hallelujah. So the tormenting spirit did come out, and it goes on and on. Basically, she was freed, and peace could truly flow. But it came with many attempts to deal with fear and took her all the way back to her childhood. All right, Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I wanted to say that sometimes these demons or these spirits that you deal with, they've become so much a part of you and your personality, and you don't understand who you are as a free person because you've acted like this for so long. You've acted out in this way for so long. And like you said, in this example, this person had struggled with this from childhood. So imagine struggling with a spirit from your early childhood and coming into the faith as an older person and then realizing that this is not me. You know, this is a spirit that needs to be cast out. And so a lot of times you have to really change your mind. You have to change the way that you behave because that spirit had become a part of you. You allowed it to be a part of you. So once it's gone, you have to learn the new way that you should be thinking and the new way that you should be walking instead of, you know, being agitated in a, what is said, a frenzied agitation, learning how to really be calm and learning that a calm, peaceful state of mind is not a bad thing at all. I've experienced people who have gotten deliverance from anxiety and, you know, days after that deliverance, they didn't really even understand why they were so mellow. Why am I so mellow? You know, what's going on? Is there something wrong with me? And so they start questioning their mindset because they had never experienced peace before in that area. Sister Ashley?
Makes perfect sense. We're moving on to demon manifestations. I'm going to bring up some key points. Someone says in the chat room, that's our sister in Australia, oh, wow, oh, my, yeah, thank you for this message. Maybe deliverance is something that you've sought and you want to understand. Maybe just even finger-pointing some of the guilt at you or even helping someone else in your area. I saw that straightaway Australia picture. I miss you, Sister Carrie. Miss talking to you. We used to talk much more often. You're constantly on my mind. Bless your husband. Bless everyone there. The picture has grown. I only knew of you when we spoke so often. So, hallelujah. It says that your eyes can take on the characteristics of a snake's eye. It's true. They can get darker. They can slant. They can glare, not blink. The person can also blow air through their nose, make a hissing sound. You know, we've witnessed people being thrown to the floor or throwing themselves on the floor by the power of the indwelling spirit. A common manifestation would occur in the hands. The hands can become numb or tingling. Sometimes the fingers can be extended or rigid or show symbology, you know, symbols of witchcraft. Arthritic spirits can often manifest themselves in the hands as well. The spirit of death can present itself, especially if you've ever been close to the point of death, through very severe sickness, serious operations, being put to sleep for long periods of time in an operation, or attempted suicide. Some occasions you will even smell odors from demonic spirits. We have engaged in deliverance with young women, you know, 17, 18 on up, to aged women. There's no, just like the testimony in the book said, a five-year-old, so no one is excluded. This particular account right here in this book says there was a 17-year-old, and she had remarked that she had been highly involved in witchcraft. She came to the deliverance ministry for help. She had took a seat directly in front of him. He opened up his Bible. He began to read scriptures about witchcraft. And all of a sudden, this really young, quiet girl lets out this piercing demonic scream. And he looks up really quick to see that her hands are like claws, and they're coming at the Bible, and they literally rip the page that he was reading, and they began to just command the demons of witchcraft and related spirits to go in the name of Jesus. And, of course, soon she was set free from this oppression. Mother Jennifer, witchcraft is something to bring up in line of the word obstinate. Tell me the relation.
You know, Sister Ashley, we learned that rebellion is witchcraft. Witchcraft and rebellion are the same. And, you know, when in this world, we are taught that, you know, witchcraft is is something completely different. Witchcraft would mean that you are actively performing as a witch, and that's your daily life, and you know, you don't talk to Yah at all, that you have dedicated yourself to being a witch. And when I came this way and I learned that rebellion and witchcraft are the same, it truly, really opened my eyes. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of women who really need to understand, you know, if you are going to engage in spiritual warfare, and let's say you're praying against the spirit of witchcraft, you're praying against, you know, returning curses to somebody or what have you, you need to understand first and foremost that you have to be clean before the Most High. You can't walk around operating in these levels of rebellion, operating as a witch, and think that you're going to be effective in warfare. So you always, always have to look at yourself first when you're dealing with any level of deliverance, any level of warfare, any level of prayer. This is why it's so important to make sure that that your life lines up with the way that it needs to. And, you know, we're talking about a lot, like Sister Ashley is talking about, a lot of manifestations and what they mean. And, you know, I wanted to say that the greatest way that you're going to really learn about deliverance and the greatest way that you're going to get experience is when you yourself put yourself in the seat to receive deliverance. You're going to learn so much that way because you will have the personal experience, and you'll understand and know how that spirit worked in you, what it communicated to your mind, what you had to do to fight it, you know, what the requirement was for you. Now, I'm not saying everybody's requirement will be the same, but what you had to do to meet the requirement of Yah, to get this particular spirit cast out. And then you're going to have so much of a passion because you've been set free that you're going to want to help somebody else. You're going to want to go and help your sister. And so it, to me, deliverance is such, it's a selfless act, but it really requires mature people who are really selfless and not thinking about themselves. You really have to be very, very mature. It requires counsel. Sometimes, you know, people aren't ready. Sometimes they need wisdom. They need advice. They need to know this is what you need to do. You know, you're not willing to forgive, so we can't go any further. You know, sometimes there are tough talks that you have to have with people to get them in the right mindset. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. If this is new, it's probably a lot. If it's not new, it's not a lot at all. But we speak to a lot of people, so I hope this helps. The spirit of pride may manifest itself in several ways. It can cause a person to sit or stand very erect, fold their arms across their chest, stick their nose in the air. This particular young man that had came to their ministry had confided in the deliverance minister that he talked too much, that he couldn't keep from butting into other people's conversations. He couldn't discipline himself to let others speak first, so he felt that what he had to say was so much more important, and he actually had a demon of importance called out. He got free from that behavior. The spirit of pride or importance, I can even say, would make a person think much more highly of himself than he ought to think. There is a spirit in this book, Pigs of the Parlor, that also is called worldly dancing, rhythmic and dancing spirits. Also, pain is a very common manifestation. Many, many times when persons have made appointments to this ministry in general, the one that I'm reading from, they had reported, it says here, they will report that they acquired a very severe headache. Although they are not normally given to headaches during ministry, the demons will often cause headaches or severe pains in various parts of the body. Spirits of nervousness and tension may cause pain in the back or the neck. Other manifestations that may be witnessed during deliverance could also be cramps in the legs and the arms, nausea, crying, and even laughing. Laughing is often even a mocking spirit. And when evil spirits depart, there's usually some sort of manifestation through the mouth or the nose. Undoubtedly, the most common manifestation is coughing. the cough can be dry, but it can also be accompanied with phlegm or spit. It can be excessive amounts. It can be vomiting, drooling, foaming. People who receive deliverance immediately following a big meal would often gag or throw up large amounts of mucus or traces of the food. So you want to, you know, not have food substance in your stomach. And infrequently, but I can say enough and normally, small amounts of blood also appear. It's not unusual for any of these materials to flow out of a person for an hour or even an hour longer after it's even over. There's been women who have immediately started their menstruation after deliverance. It's very common. Don't tell me how. Don't ask me how. But I always tell them, I believe, opinion, through the pattern of that happening, that a lot of women are bound by spirits in their ovaries and reproductive organs, and, you know, it grips the control of those organs. So why wouldn't your menstruation start or your body and organ be very relaxed after deliverance when you call out some of the things that abide in those areas? Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I even remember Pastor Dow talking about doing a, I believe it was a mass deliverance at another church, and he said that everybody on the first row, I believe, ended up having a bowel movement on themselves. And, you know, could you imagine sitting there and doubting deliverance, you know, really being in doubt, and then you see this manifestation take place where everybody is in the front row and they have a bowel movement on themselves. And, you know, that's how you know that these spirits are definitely, they're definitely real. And I wanted to talk about distraction, how spirits will try to distract you, you know, try to talk you out of getting deliverance. Oh, they're tired, they're busy. You really don't need deliverance from that spirit. All you got to do is pray. Ask Yah, and he'll help you. You don't need deliverance today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe try tomorrow. You know, these are voices that you hear. And when you allow yourself to be distracted and you allow these spirits to talk you out of doing what you know you need to do, you've given them more time in your body. And that's another day that they're actually claiming you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right, so flipping over to pros and cons of techniques and methods. I won't talk too much longer on deliverance. We said a lot already. Depending on how deep it may seem to each of you, it just proves how much you've known or heard before. So it says, this man says, once we were calling demons out of a 16-year-old boy, the first demon we called was fear. The boy was taken over by the spirits and was thrown to the floor. Five men tried to restrain him physically with only partial success. That is the strength of demonic powers, that it took five men for a 16-year-old boy. It says several other demons were called up, and the violent manifestations accompanied each spirit. Now, the boy was instructed not to let the demon take him over, but to fight it with us. That's another technique that the individual has to learn as they, or you, she, approaches deliverance. You have to fight against it in the spirit. Continually commanding it to go in Jesus' name, the spirit of violence was cast out with much of a struggle, and there was no further display of violence in his life after a number of other demons were also cast out. One very interesting case was that of a woman who was 30 years old. She was not a physically strong person. She had undergone major abdominal surgery 3 months prior to deliverance, so she showed unnatural strength under demonic manifestations. And I won't continue to read her story, but one of the spirits continually speaking out of her said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me." And I have to say that is often an expression of a demon out of a female, even with her own husband, the person that may love her the most, or the person that she's trying to love the most, the person that's hurt her the most, or just her broken background all coming to the full manifestation and the forefront of the relationship that she currently has. She's going to say, "Don't touch me, don't freaking touch me." And it's very common for spirits to say that. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I wanted to ask you a question. you know, we talk about most of the work with deliverance being done before you get in the chair. Can you explain that?
Yes, most of the work being done, number one, it's just desperation. My sister's desperation. You don't have to run yourself ragged trying to figure out, you know, should I fast or what should I pray or what kind of scriptures should I know. You just rest in the Father's direction. If you're not hearing something, not getting something, not being told something, you can still get deliverance. You don't got to have all the answers. But on the flip side, you can't just want to sit down to relieve yourself from emotional oppression when you by nature have an obstinate heart. Jeremiah 5 says, if people has a revolting and a rebellious heart, they have revolted and they are gone from me. Your iniquities have turned away you from me, and your sins have withholden good from you. And amongst us, you know within your own self, you know, whether you are to blame. You know, a lot of people just really, they get surface-level deliverance. It's everything that's been done to them. You know, that's easy. That's really easy. It hurts. It's pain. You still got to go through it. But what you've done to other people, you want to tap into that. You want to tap into that person, that wonderful and horrible thing that you've committed, you know. And that is true freedom, because that's what will break you, you know. So you want to stay faithful in your desire for freedom, not for selfish reasons. You know, my freedom is not, I don't want to just be free because I'm deserving, or I don't want to just be free because I hate this thought and this is bothering me and this is plaguing me and this and this is me, woe is me. You know, you want to be free so you can glorify the Father, and you want to tell him that. I've been selfish in my intentions, you know. I've been selfish in my intentions, wanting to be free, wanting to get deliverance, just because I'm tired of this, you know. And so you wanna click that reset button and talk to the Father in all honesty, transparency, and vulnerability. And you want to tell him that you are who you are because of you. No matter who's hurt you, you allowed the pain and the hurt. And you allowed your body to do what it's done on this earth. You made decisions that were detrimental to you and those around you. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Mother Jennifer, was that well said?
Yes, it was very well said. You know, the greatest deliverance that you're going to get is when you stop blaming everybody else and you are ready to look at the things that you have done. That is the greatest freedom that you will really experience. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, let's see what else I may have highlighted in here. Demons can indwell any part of the human body. One of the favorite areas seems to be the lower abdomen. When a hand is laid on this area in ministry, the demons very often come up and out through the mouth. This is why it's wise and helpful to have both men and women involved in deliverance, because women can lay hands on women and men can lay hands on men. There's also an account here where a spirit of lust had manifested in a girl. So, yes, there's a spirit of lust. And it identified itself as a flirting spirit. So, yes, they can talk out of your body. They can take authority over your vocal cords. It says, through words and facial expressions, it began to flirt with two of the men that were present in the room. Since the touch of a male hand would serve to feed such a spirit, it was very obvious why the Holy Spirit directs the man to, or directed him to remove his hands from this spirit and allow the women to help her. Demons will seek to instill fear in those who are ministering or casting out. So the demon that's manifesting in someone will also try to instill fear in those who are helping. Many times, he says, I have heard spirits speaking through the person making threats to do harm. In one deliverance, the demon opened the person's eyes, looked straight at me with an icy stare, and with the person's face right up in my face, said, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, I'll get you. And so he said, I calmly replied, no, demon, you will not get me. Jesus said, I could tread on you. Hallelujah. He goes on and on. So it is not possible to stop all demon talk when dealing with them in deliverance. They will sometimes speak out without warning. So they did it to Jesus. No need to shout through your megaphone to try to get them to stop talking. No reason to feel insecure because they're not obeying you. However, there is an inherent danger in conversing with demon spirits loosely or foolishly. One must never allow himself or herself to converse with demons in order to acquire knowledge, as if to ask them, the depths of the kingdom. When is Yeshua coming? Spirit of rejection, when is Yeshua coming? You don't want to get into that kind of thing. What they really hate to hear is shut up and come out. Just stick to the basics. Shut up and come out. Just like Jesus rebuked the spirit. Remember what he said? Hold your peace, come out. That's basically what we say, shut up and come out. It says here that there is also merit in questioning demons even when they are not speaking through the person being delivered. So, for example, a lady once came for deliverance. She had many symptoms, and there was 2 hours of intense deliverance produced, but no real results, I should say. All right, so the next day he was trying to read, study, kind of, that is something that we do too. I know sisters will do that. They'll link up, if somebody's getting help from one another and they didn't successfully get to the root or the freedom that sister desires, she will team up with her, look for scriptures, look for knowledge in books or spiritual warfare books that are going to help her out, and they'll team up. And he actually did some reading, and he found that familiar account, chapter 5 of Mark, and the Holy Spirit had ministered to him about the demon pleading, torment me not. And so he goes over and he looks up the word torment, and the word torment me not actually meant don't question me, don't apply torture to me. And so the next time he helped this lady, he was able to say, what is your name? How long you been in? You can't resist the name of Jesus. The torture of being questioned actually broke the power of that spirit. So everything needs to be in balance. And that application, we don't want to make errors or even, overspeak and misguide any of you. But there's just a lot of experience that each of you need. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, and it's always good to remember to really remain humble. When you're doing deliverance, that you are the one that is submitted to Yah doing the deliverance. And you understand that the authority that you have is because of the blood of Jesus. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with the fact that you've read lots of scriptures or you've read Pigs in the Parlor and you've read this book and you've read that book. It has nothing to do with that. The authority that you have been given is because of the blood of Jesus. And so mentally, you have to remain in such a humble state when you're doing deliverance, and understand that the battle that you're fighting is spiritual. It's not flesh and it's not blood. Sister Ashley?
That's right. You can get kicked, hit, floored forcibly. All kinds of things can happen. The demons do not want to come out. They are real. It doesn't matter whether you want to hear it. I'm sure I don't really ever pay attention to the numbers of the audience on here. Let's see, 40, 60, 80. Maybe we've lost a few. I don't know. Pastor often loses quite a few when he speaks of deliverance, but he also speaks to a much larger audience and even a political audience. But, demons are expelled primarily through the mouth and the nose. It's best to have the person in a position that is compatible for those manifestations. So one of the best positions is to be seated in a straight chair. You do want to have a relaxed environment, and this is where, your environment is everything. You should have peace and freedom in your living room or in your gathering, in the home assembly, in our tabernacle here. You should have peace and liberty and freedom. For example, if a woman wants to get free from her hatred for her husband, maybe it's not wise for him to be there. Let's use our mind here. I think he would have the maturity to know that you're getting free from something that is going to help you love him And so maybe it still is up to him if he wants to be there. But you want an environment that is not going to hinder your deliverance. And sometimes even a young teenager getting deliverance and the mother lording over that deliverance, it is a hindrance because the things that they want to be free from, they are bound by fear of that person or in that person. And those familiar spirits feed off of each other. So consider the environment. Consider who you want to have around you. And, hey, buckle up and enjoy the ride. Mother Jennifer?
I wanted to say, too, Sister Ashley, that, you know, sometimes people can give you too much information in deliverance. If somebody is seeking deliverance from an offense that they have with somebody else, I don't need to know every single wrong that this person did to you. That's not necessary. The mature way is to say, you know, I've allowed an offense to enter into my heart, and I've repented, and I'm ready to be set free. Now, if there are more questions that I need answers to, then I'll ask that. But, you know, when you sit down, you're not sitting down ready to explain, you know, all the records of wrongs that you have written down in your notebook that's 35 pages long. That's not necessary, you know, and that really speaks to the condition of the heart. That person is not ready for deliverance. There are some things that they have to do first. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So maybe you have emotional problems. You know, maybe you're constantly disturbed. You jump from anger to depression to security issues, insecurity, I should say. Maybe you have the emotional problems. Maybe that is a huge resistance inside of you that doesn't let you receive the Father's covenant for you or even allow yourself to change. You know, those emotional problems are instabilities you need freedom from. You need to confess those things. Mental problems. A lot of women have disturbances in their mind, mental torments of indecision, doubts, confusions, loss of memory, you know, just schizophrenia in general. But one thing we can't do, no matter what you would say is your problem, you can't say, that's me, and this is who I am, and this is how it's going to be, because you're not going to be free. There's something inside of you really deep that wants pity for the circumstance that's around you, you know, and a lot of the over-speech and the over-talking when you're wanting freedom, you're wanting that person to understand what you've been through and how it hurts you and all your worries and all your jealousies for your self-pity purposes. And if you, that goes back to your question for me earlier, Mother Jennifer, when you say a lot of the work is done before the chair. If you done hashed all this out with the Father and confessed all these inadequacies for Him, then you don't have to verbalize all that. But be in balance. Be in balance, my sister. That doesn't mean you can't share what you need to share and how you need to open yourself up and be vulnerable. Maybe you have speech problems. Maybe you really do lie. Maybe you really do gossip. You know, maybe you're full of criticism constantly towards one of your children and not the other, or your husband but not your mom, or you know, really look at yourself. Maybe you have fantasy sexual experiences that have totally confused you. You know, maybe you've had perversion, homosexuality experiences, adultery, incest, harlotry, fornication, the list goes on and on, pornography. Those have to be covered by the blood. You have addictions that run rampant from nicotine, which, by the way, when it comes out, you will smell it before you even know it's there. Oftentimes when you're hitting a rejection or some form of insecurity in a woman, you'll smell nicotine show up, and you really, you just cast it out. You cast nicotine out in the name of Jesus. So there's addictions to nicotine and alcohol, drugs, medicines, caffeine, all sorts of food, any form of escape that the human can embrace. It always deep rooted into childhood traumas, not always, but most of the time, fatherless daughters, like Pastor says best, fatherless daughters. So many diseases and physical afflictions are due to spirits of infirmity, spirits of death we talked about, infirmities like in your uterus or in your back, in your, you know, like scoliosis or some of the other serpents that twist your spine. Just stay really faithful. If you don't have answer yet, or you're living in an infirmity and you don't know what to go after, or you've been going after and you still haven't gotten it, then just have faith. Just have faith, you know. Don't move from the belief. Don't be so easily wavered that he's not here and you haven't done what it takes and all these worthless meditations, you know. Really develop a new mind that says, I'm going to believe that you're hearing me. I'm going to believe that you're going to free me. Hallelujah. No matter what I got to feel or whatever's attached to this flesh, you don't have to embrace it. But like I said, most importantly, don't get swallowed up in self-pity, because self-pity is something that has an expectancy inside of you that says, you know, I'm living with this circumstance, whether it's mental or physical or emotional. I'm living with these circumstances because of what's been done or said to me. And because of what has been done or said to me, then I'm waiting on someone to understand, or I'm waiting on someone's ear to talk to, you know, and then not really saying, you know what, whether anybody ever hears my story, whether they ever relate, whether they ever give me any good advice or strength, I am going to produce fruit beyond my expectations. And I'm not going to, you know, rehash my story over and over just to get an audience. You know, we can't have a conversation of me saying, hey, I got this going on, without the next person jumping in saying, oh, me too, and she did it to me too, and, man, that's what my husband said. And, you know, we just compile on, so we just raise our self-pity hand, you know. I don't know what it is, Pastor said, you know, in this country, in this culture, where it's this badge of honor to run around with a disease, you know. Oh, girl, my child got that too. Oh, girl, my mama, she died of that too. What is going on, right? Tap, tap, Chef. Mother Jennifer.
Very well put, Sister Ashley. I you know, you had mentioned the mental spirits, the spirits that attack, you know, the mental faculties, your mind. And so many women shy away from looking into those things because, you know, they think it's embarrassing. You know, if you look at schizophrenia and you look at the two sides of schizophrenia, there's when you look at that, it's just two different sides of spirits that are coming together. They're joining together and they're creating problems in your mind. But we've been so trained to think that, you know, there's no way I could have schizophrenia. There's no way that I'm battling schizophrenia, because people are embarrassed. But when you are desperate and you're ready to be set free, you'll start really looking at the spirits that pertain to, you know, what you need freedom from. And you can stop identifying with that spirit because you're free. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, we have a phone call. I'm going to go there. I'm going to try it. I got a new mouse and a new mic I'm working with tonight, so I'm going to try to pull you up. Area code 254. Let me say this first, because I wanted to, in case you accidentally got in the caller queue, I wanted to take just a moment to talk, okay? So you can wait for me if you meant to press 1 to speak to us. The Father said this people, Isaiah 43 is one of my favorite chapters, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Hallelujah. And one of our promises is to be an overcomer. And an overcomer's mindset is not burdened down with self-pity. It's a very victorious journey and a commitment that's just unfailing. But he says, you have not called on me, Jacob. You have been weary of me, O Israel. You have made me to serve with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. That basically means when your guilt is unconfessed, right? You're asking him to serve you with your sins. And you're asking him to take away your iniquities, but they're yet to be confessed. So a lot of mental acknowledgement of your wrongs, that's good. That's a place to start. But a verbal confession must take place. because he says, I, even I, am he that blots out transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember sins. So put me in remembrance, and let us plead together. Declare to me that you may be justified. All right? Remember that. Declare. Say it so that you may be justified. All right, let's go to area code 254. Let's wrap up the show. Shalom, you're live, 254. Thanks for calling in. Can you hear us? Well, hallelujah, 254. I'm going to blame it on my mic. 1, 2, 3. That's all right. That's all right. I really didn't intend on taking calls, and now I got a few lined up. It's okay. Maybe you have a ton of questions about deliverance, and we know we could talk deliverance every night of the week, and it never grow old. Let me try another one real quick. Let's see if it pulls up. Okay, this is area code 850. 850, you're live. 850, can you hear me? All right. Blame my inabilities on a new mouse and a new mic tonight. Wrap it up, Mother Jennifer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah. Hey, prayers, blessings, faith, all that goes out to Texas, to anyone who's in any area. If you're the Most High Yah, I'm not worried about you at all. Now, I don't know what your faith might take you through and what your flesh might have to experience, but I'm telling you, he will not forsake you. And a special, special thank you to Pastor Dow, who has always and forever told us to stack up. I feel really confident in what we have as a Bell family. You know, my husband's in constant communication with me. What do we have? What do you think we need? And then he'll get what he thinks we need. But he still has given me that, you know, oversight, whether we store in buckets or Mylar bags or whatever. So we're doing our part, even for the community. I try to think ahead and get the things that the saints would love. You know, I really do put a lot of time into herbs. I always have since maybe 2012. I learned how to store them in glass jars from Grandma Vicky. Grandma Vicky and the early saints here used to store all of our spices in jars, you know, glass jars. Of course, plastic lid is best, but I learned it in 2012. Canning, preserving, I learned here. Homemade dressings, I learned here. Majority of my cooking skills, my minimal but best sewing skills, I learned here. How to be a mother, a wife, and a friend, I learned here. How to be a servant, how to love, how to die daily. I always tell people I'm dead already, you know. It's no longer dying daily for me. I'm just dead already. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I couldn't answer your phone calls. I pray that we were, you know, sparking thought inside of you. If you don't have answers, Yah does. He really does. So oftentimes as a woman, you'll, you know, be really desperate for an answer and you'll reach out to somebody for it when actually all she can really give you is just another puzzle piece, you know. He'll put it all together in his perfect time, but be desperate and get free. You know, there's quite a few women that are free and were able to help you, and you know, still in our own press too. So, hallelujah for his power, his deliverance, and really allowing us to be brought back to him, you know, and to no longer have that punishment and that discipline of that divorce, you know, but to have that covenant of love. Mother Jennifer, end the show.
I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Shalom.